Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into a house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last week we heard from Micah, and it was not a happy word. And this week we hear from Amos, and it's not a happy word. The lectionary is preparing us, I think, for coming into Advent. Because Advent is a time when we seek a hope against hope. And so it's important to focus in on the things that call us to strive to find hope in the world. And so we get these readings from the prophets. Imagine an aircraft carrier. Modern U.S. aircraft carriers are the largest warships ever built. Over 1,000 feet long and weighing in over 100,000 tons, powered by two nuclear generators, they can travel without restrictions for 25 years. They have a crew of over 5,200 people. It's a small town afloat. It carries about 90 aircraft. And each of those aircraft are capable of firing multiple missiles and doing great damage. And the aircraft carrier itself is capable of firing guided missiles, some of which may be nuclear. Imagine the size and the destructive capacity of such a weapon. Now imagine that the water beneath it suddenly disappeared. The ship would drop to the seabed, undoubtedly because it's top heavy, it would fall on its side, and it would sit there on its side, immobile, helpless, a pile of scrap. Without the sea under it, this most powerful weapon is useless. Now, imagine our world as cities and nations, economies and governments, corporations, congregations and families, all floating on a sea of beliefs about the nature of things. As the aircraft carrier's crew takes the presence of water under their keel for granted, so do we take the beliefs that guide our existence for granted. Most of those beliefs are buried so deep within us that they do not rise to the level of conscious thought. And yet, they form the basis of how we live our lives. Imagine what would happen if we stopped believing in the necessity of violence and instead started believing that the taking of human life was wrong in all circumstances. That we believed this so deeply that we didn't have to consciously think about it. Given that most firearms are designed to specifically harm other human beings, what would happen if all those guns we now have? Like the waterless aircraft carrier, they would be useless hunks of metal. Imagine what would happen to our economy if we actually believed in loving our neighbors as ourselves. Why would we strive to have more money, bigger houses, or fancier cars than our neighbors? It wouldn't make any sense. It would be pointless behavior. The God of Israel was the God who stood on the side of slaves. And from that belief, Jewish people logically linked God's concern for slaves with concern for anyone who was suffering from oppression or poverty. To honor this God, faithful people were called on to share their resources, periodically forgive debts, and once every generation redistribute their capital holdings in the form of land. But all around Israel were nations that didn't believe that their gods sided with slaves. They believed just the opposite. And in those nations, the wealthy prospered far more than others. And the poor suffered, but largely their suffering was hidden away, not as visibly ostentatious as the wealth of the wealthy. Those who rose to power in Israel looked to those wealthy and powerful people of other nations and wanted what they had. So they reinvented their religion to look like the religions of other nations. In this religion, God was not so interested in equity. God was really interested in personal purity. God was not so interested in people forgiving debts to one another. God was really interested in people seeking forgiveness for personal debts to God in the form of sins. God was not so interested in ending poverty, but instead was concerned about people doing rituals in the right way. Less interested in maintaining a just nation, and more interested in maintaining a lavish temple. And the temple was beautiful, and the priests were amply supported, and the rituals were undoubtedly captivating. With this religion, the wealthy and powerful of Israel could enjoy their lives guilt-free. When the official representatives of God's will fail to honor the God who stands with slaves, unofficial people are called to speak the truth. Prophets like Micah last week and Amos today spoke out not only against the political and economic order of their day for allowing vulnerable people to suffer, but against the official religion that was a supportive partner in that unjust order. Undoubtedly some, if not most of the members of Hamas that attacked Israel, believed that their God justified that attack. Likewise, some, at least, of the people from Israel who are killing people in Gaza also use their faith as justification. Both sides of this violent struggle appeal to a God that endorses partisan violence. Their idea of God is more alike than different. The similarities in the behaviors of Hamas and the nation of Israel point to similarities in their ideas of what is ultimately true. This points to a faith system that's bigger than their religions or any of the world's religions. This religion operates in the background of our thoughts and our actions, but it influences almost every aspect of our lives. If looked on logically, there doesn't seem to be much evidence that retaliatory violence does anything to reduce violence. Civilization has been practicing retaliatory violence for over 6,000 years, and yet violence is pervasive. On the contrary, a good case could be made that retaliatory violence simply perpetuates violence. So why is the belief in retaliation so powerful? There is conscious religion, like what we're doing here today, and there is unconscious faith. The problem is that most of our unconscious beliefs are tied to a belief in the worldview of domination. For those who want their religion to be popular, who want their pews to be filled with enthusiastic supporters, for those religious leaders who want to make a comfortable living, it makes sense to make your conscious religion align with people's unconscious beliefs. That's why so many church leaders often push the idea of a sanctified in-group and a vilified group of outsiders. That's why they line up to honor veterans of violence, but not veterans of nonviolence. That's why they honor the wealthy for their gifts, rather than criticize the system that allows for the accumulation of wealth. And that's why the priests of Amos's day had secure and prosperous positions, and Amos was an agricultural worker. So today we have a religion that claims to represent the will of Jesus, but the popular form of Christianity utterly ignores the values he proclaimed. It does not practice loving our enemies. It does not practice forgiveness of debts. It does not denounce the accumulation of wealth. It does not strive to break down the barriers between insiders and outsiders. Like the priests of Israel's past, our Christian leaders focus on personal piety, personal sins, and personal salvation. Religion can impact values, and such values are the foundation of the way people behave. If you believe that violence of any sort is wrong, then violence will not be a choice you support. The more influential such a faith is in a culture, the more the culture will follow the values that turn from violence and exploitation. Faith guides everyone's life. We may not think about it, but it's there. If you did not have faith that you would be alive on Tuesday, how much would that change your Monday? If you did not have faith in the value of money, then why would you work for it? Amos, Micah, Jesus, and others knew what they were doing. Ultimately, behaviors change when beliefs change, and the best tool for perpetuating or changing conscious and unconscious beliefs is the conscious application of faith. Hamas, calling on support from their God, killed people. Israel, calling on its God, continues to kill people. President Biden, with faith in his God, provides military support to Israel to kill people. A different faith could bring about a very different world. Of the 21 aircraft carriers in the world, the U.S. owns 11. Five other nations own two each. If that fact makes you feel proud or more secure, know that you have faith in violence. These weapons are meant to extend our capacity to do violence well beyond our shores. And as such, they are multi-billion dollar temples of faith in violence to maintain order. It seems the people of Amos's day believed that God would forcibly intervene to save them from their enemies. By challenging those beliefs, Amos sought to shake the people's faith so that they might re-examine their beliefs and pick something better. The common beliefs of America and the world are off course. That's why there's so much need, so much violence, hate, and hopelessness. It's not just the harmful practices that need change, but the beliefs that justify them. That's what the people of faith bring to the struggle for justice and peace. That is why Micah, Jesus, Amos took time to be critical of religious leaders. How we believe, what we believe, what we choose to do to live out our beliefs are vastly important. So let's know our faith. Let's live our faith. Let's share our faith while we challenge the beliefs and practices that promote harm and hate. By our actions, let's pull the sea out from under the mighty ship of fear, violence, and greed that seems so huge. That's the work of God's love. That's the good news we're called to bring to the world. Amen.